thank you for listening to the Following Films podcast. Today, I'm joined by director Brett Harvey. Brett is a Canadian documentarian best known for Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo, which holds a coveted 100% fresh score on Rotten Tomatoes. I had Brett on the show to discuss his latest film, Breaking Olympia. The documentary is the definitive, never-before-told story of Phil Heath, perhaps the greatest bodybuilder of all time, featuring interviews with Dwayne Johnson, Ronnie Coleman, Jay Cutler, and many more. Breaking Olympia tracks the pivotal point in Heath's career when, despite being plagued by injuries that come with 18 years of physical and mental sacrifice, Heath stands on the edge of altering the face of bodybuilding history. Breaking Olympia is currently available on digital to rent or own. Hope you enjoy the show. Thanks.
Hey, Brett, how are you today?
Hi, Christopher. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good, good, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Well, I was genuinely surprised by how much I enjoyed this film. I don't give a shit about sports as a general rule of thumb. Don't give a shit about bodybuilding. And you managed to tell a deeply human story that is about both of those things, but it is not about them at all. This is really just about perseverance in the face of adversity, probably more than anything, I would say. So I was just wondering how you came into the story and what your thoughts on how to approach it were.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I wasn't, like, I wouldn't say I wasn't a fan, but I didn't know really anything about bodybuilding myself, which is kind of one of my favorite things when coming into a film, because then I'm coming from the perspective of, well, what do I find interesting about it? Mm. And, you know, before being a fan, because what I find is if you're a fan of something, you get kind of hung up on these little intricacies of the topic that the average person's like, why are they focusing on something like so? Like, you know, so how I actually came into it was 2017. It was the first time I talked to Phil, and Phil was, he had just won his seventh title. Mm. And so for those who don't know the sport, Phil is kind of like a LeBron James type Michael Jordan character of the sport, just pure dominance, just year after year. Everybody's expectation is he's going to win. He's destroying stuff, people. It's not even close. So I came in with that. He had seen a documentary I'd done called Ice Guardians. And so he thought at that point, you know, maybe I should get a doc done on this kind of story I'm living in my life. And so I was interested at that point. I found it fascinating because I love watching. I don't know why. It's kind of a sick thing where I love watching characters who just dominate something. Like, just
of course.
What does it take mentally to do that? And so we started off thinking, okay, Phil, you go and win your eighth title, tie the record, and we're going to go get this film funded. And then we'll come back and we're going to shoot you attempting to break the all-time record, where you're just going to be the top guy, period. No questions asked. Well, Phil, during that time, he ended up suffering a major injury and he lost. And so it ended up taking a 180, where Phil was in the seat of total dominance and just win after win, to now it was a comeback story. Which to me, if I'm being honest, almost became more interesting, because now we were having to see him evolve psychologically. We were going to have to see him face demons that he had faced in his past. We're going to have to see him overcome the scrutiny of this process of, does he even want to come back? Does he want to suffer through all of this? A lot of people who don't know the sport probably don't understand the level of suffering and passion that's required to get to that point of that championship, which is actually what made me respect the sport a lot more than I originally had as well. So anyways, that was a long-winded way of letting you know how we got into this.
Well, I think anybody that's ever attempted to do a squat or a lunge or a burpee in their life can get the smallest sliver of what it takes to get yourself to this is beyond what human potential should be. This is not a natural form of humanity.
Right.
The way that they are transforming their bodies into this state is something that it's not natural. And it's something that it takes such focus and dedication to do this, that it's something that is so rare. And then to be able to do that at a high level amongst those rare athletes is just something that's really incredible.
It really is. And it became most apparent when, you know, we had done this during the pandemic, which had its own issues. We hadn't expected that to happen. So we had to get all trained up and get certified and had, we had all these protocols to even get there. And we were from Canada. So we had to, it was a process. And so there was a lot of shooting, obviously, that did not take place that we had anticipated. But when we did finally get down there in the months and we were able to get the most critical elements of the story, being in there at 3 a.m. with film night after night, and then during the day before he even gets there, he's having to do 7 meals a day. Like, I know it sounds silly or easy even to some people who don't know the sport, but it's not. It is just not. Like, you're chewing to the point that your jaw is sore and you're forcing food down you to be bulking up. And then, you get to the process towards the end where it actually becomes quite dangerous, in peak week, where you have to have people that really know what they're doing when you start, having to get rid of water in your body and you're manipulating the carbs you're taking and all the elements that come with getting somebody to the stage that they are with that body. It is a grueling process and one that I came to further appreciate in a great capacity by being able to be there to experience it.
I could only imagine what it would be like to see this firsthand for that amount of time. Cause watching this for an hour and a half is honestly, this is not an easy watch. This is heartbreaking.
Right.
It's just to see what these guys go through for a sport that, as they put it in here, it's not even in the top 20 of things that people care about in this country, that it's just, I don't know what drives them to do this thing, because it's, if somebody stacking cups is getting more recognition, it's not for that. So there's something internal that's driving them. That's something that's totally different.
It really is. And it's interesting because the more that I was involved in the sport, not involved, but more I was understanding the sport, the more I was seeing the characters that lived within the sport and understanding the intricacies of what they were looking for. Like before, when I started, looking at the competitions, I had no idea why they would choose somebody over another. I'm like,
yeah,
those muscles look big too. But as you go, you really start understanding, well, what are they looking for? Yeah, you mentioned that it's not the most popular sport in the States, and I understand that, and it is. I don't know if it's a cultural thing, like, because if you go to India, that's a different story. It's massive in India, so I think one of the elements that the sport is still having to overcome within the United States is its subjective nature. It's the idea that you can't just look at it and go, well, this team scored this many points and this team scored this many points, so I know this team is better. When you watch those competitions, you might be disappointed quite often because the person that you think should win doesn't win. And then when they come out with the scores, they show some numbers and they go, well, oh, okay, he got less points or he got more points. I understand that. But they don't say why. They don't go how they got. Well, why did that person get less points? Why did that person get more points? So I think bringing more understanding to the sport might help it within the States, but also people just understanding the passion and the characters that live within the sports would greatly help the sport.
Well, it's more like an art in a lot of ways than it is a sport, in that there is self-expression through that. And it's you kind of think about when you have competitions in skateboarding or you have competitions in film or competitions in music. They don't really sense because so much of it is subjective and it's hard to get your head around that.
Phil actually used that term at certain points. I don't know that made it into the
film. He did refer to it as art, and that really clicked with me.
Yeah, and it is. And it's interesting because you'll hear a lot of these guys when they talk about, well, what are they bringing to the competition this year? You hear the term, well, this is the package that I'm bringing. When I first heard it, I had to kind of separate my mind. What do you mean your package? It was an odd term to use. But you get past the my silly, childish nature of what I would think with that. And what they're in essence saying is, it's the package of art that they're bringing. This is my version of what is the most idyllic form of the human body that could be, at least visually. Now, for a lot of people, that's not the case. But for many people, it is. It's the same intrigue that people have towards superheroes, like it or not. People are interested in the extremes of anything. And one of the extremes is seeing how crazy the body can get. And that's what these guys are portraying to the world is, look, this is the level physically, at least visually, that the body can get to.
This episode of the Following Films podcast is brought to you by Bookmans. So today I went into Bookmans and decided to try to find a film by Michael Mann. I went over to the Blu-ray section and saw copies of several films I already own, and then I found it, Black Hat. This is one I haven't seen in quite a while since it came out, and I figured maybe it was time for a reassessment of this much maligned film. So Black Hat is a cybercrime thriller directed by Michael Mann that delves into the world of cybercrime, hacking, and international intrigue. While it promises to be a gripping exploration of the dangers lurking in the digital age, the execution falls short of expectations. The film follows convicted hacker played by Chris Hemsworth, who's temporarily released from prison to help the American and Chinese authorities track down a criminal network that's responsible for a series of major attacks. As the hunt takes them across the globe, Hemsworth's character must navigate the murky waters of the criminal underworld while grappling with his own demons. One of the film's major shortcomings is its lack of technical accuracy and realism. While it attempts to portray the world of hacking authentically, it often falls into cliches and inaccuracies that ultimately undermine the credibility of the story. So the hacking sequences are exaggerated and unrealistic, relying more on flashy visuals than genuine technical expertise. And this is coming from an absolute layman. I am not somebody who knows anything about hacking, and yet I can see some of the things that just flat out aren't true in this film. And that particular disconnect may disappoint viewers familiar with the subject matter or looking for a more grounded portrayal of cybercrime. So despite these flaws though, Black Hat does have its moments. Michael Mann's signature style is evident in the film's beautiful, sleek cinematography and the signature action sequences, and the international setting adds depth to the narrative. It highlights the global nature of cyber threats and the challenges of international cooperation. Chris Hemsworth delivers a solid performance as Hathaway, bringing the character a sense of depth who's grappling for redemption. And the supporting cast includes, I had no idea, I'd completely forgotten this, but Viola Davis, who's really great in the film and adds a lot to the film. But ultimately, Black Hat falls short of its potential. While it offers a glimpse into the world of cybercrime and espionage, its lack of technical accuracy and reliance on cliches detracts from the overall experience. And despite its flaws, fans of Michael Mann's work or of the cyber thriller genre, I guess if you're a huge Johnny Mnemonic fan and you're looking for some more cyber thriller, you could do worse than Black Hat. However, for those seeking a more realistic, nuanced exploration of hacking and cybersecurity, this might leave you wanting more, and I'm not sure I can recommend this one. But despite that, this gave me the chance to check out a film that I've been meaning to reevaluate, because I keep hearing that Black Hat is an underrated film, and maybe I'll give it another 10 years, follow back up with this one, and see if it does end up coming around for me. But remember, Bookmans, they have your cool covered. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks.
Check it out. It's kind of interesting to see, you know?
I agree. It absolutely is when you take it within that context, and the idea of being able to see what the... It's almost like if you had a way of tracking, this is where they were at the beginning of this. This is where they wanted to be in the end. This is the idealized state that they see in themselves. And it becomes more like sculpting in a way. It's right. That form of that, but it's doing exactly it with your own body, which is so much more complicated than manipulating clay. To manipulate your own chemistry is crazy.
100%. And you'll even see that. Like, that's one of the interesting things when you are watching him in his training session. Like, he's looking, he's examining. Yeah. You know, he'll do an exercise and he'll see, well, where did this muscle get to? And, oh, maybe this one down here, this one's not balanced out anymore. Now I need to work out this one. And so he's constantly having to shift what's trained on certain days. And then, you know, when you're trying to get that part of your body to that point, you end up injuring it. And now he's got to go in and he's got to get that taken care of. And now he's got to catch up on that because now it has to heal and everything else is growing. So it's just this constant stressed out balance of mind and body in attempting to bring it all up equally for this perfect package that could be put on display.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to see that through here. Could you talk a little bit though about what surprised you in the making of this? Because I had several things that really surprised me about this documentary. Like you said, I'm always attracted to stories about obsession. And I figured it would be in that, but there's something that's much deeper and universal going on here where I think that what surprised you about this, I guess?
Well, I don't know that it surprised me in the sense that I was like, oh, I'm seeing it again.
Okay.
Which is something that I've seen in several, Adam's a producer who at the forefront as well on this film. And we would talk about it often, which was, man, he's having the same identity issue that the fighters were having when they were coming to the ends of their career, which was when you build yourself up and especially to the level that Phil was, and your identity is based around the idea that you're the best in the world at something. And while you're doing this, like everywhere he goes, that's who he is. He's Phil Heath. He's, you know, you go to a restaurant, it's Phil Heath. It's that. Then when you come to the end of that and there's a chance that you might not do it anymore. It's devastating psychologically to the point of depression that is the lowest of the lows. And you know where I'm going with that.
Yep.
Phil actually experienced that very early on in his life when he was trying to find meaning in what he was doing through basketball. He was in Division I basketball at Denver University, and he thought he was going to be in the NBA, and he was really good. And, you know, things didn't work out then, and he slipped at that point. And to this place that many people do slip. So for me, seeing him have to work by that again later in life, but in this different position where he had reached the peak, he had already been there, but he was still having to face this. And he was trying to have, you know, he had to find his self-worth beyond the sport. He had to find out who is he beyond this bigger than life entity, which, you know, he was going to have to kind of at some point abandon. Because it just is not, you can't live that way forever. Now, I don't want to ruin the end of the film, but, you know, at some point he may have to leave that. And he was having to deal with that.
Well, there's this idea that I've heard expressed this way, that when you reach a mountaintop, when you have this goal, you don't see the thing that you're expecting to see. You see more mountaintops from that top view. You see more goals. There's something that's innate within us that just is constantly turning over and finding new ambition and new goals. And so you have to embrace that journey along the way. Otherwise, when you get to that top, you're going to realize you're the exact same person with the same problems that you had when you started that journey. And so it has to be about that thing that gets you there, not about the place that you're going.
I like that. I've never heard that, but that is so accurate. It's interesting because I can even equate that to when the run that he was on, because he would talk about how he had to find motivation. I don't know if it fully made it into the film, but he had to find motivation. And the further he went, the more he won, the harder it was psychologically to keep going, because he was just seeing the same mountaintops almost. It was like, well, I'm just going to be on that same mountaintop. Do I want to suffer to go through it? And he would. It's interesting, though, because when he did lose, it provided a new goal for him again. It almost reignited his spirit in wanting to do it because it was a brand new goal to attempt to achieve. But that's fascinating. I like that analogy. That's really interesting. I'm going to adapt that to further documentaries in the future.
Well, I mean, that's a thing that is when you make a film like this that is hyper, hyper specific about a singular pursuit, that the overwhelming majority of the people that will watch this film will not share that goal. But I think there's a universal thing that we have this thing that is directly tied to depression in many ways. And it's that ill at ease feeling that we have within ourselves, that lack of satisfaction, that we are not enough, that we have to have these things beyond ourselves. And oftentimes they're things we don't control. And I think that's why a film like this is so important, because it's something that is part of just what it means to be human.
It's what I look for in every single story. I've said it before, but I don't care what it's actually about in the sense of what are they doing. So they could be skipping rope for all I care. They could be playing chess. Although chess is kind of cool.
That's a pretty fascinating subject, actually.
But it doesn't matter what they do. If they're passionate about it and they're having to face adversity within whatever the story elements of their passion is, and they're having to evolve and they're having to overcome things and adapt to their environment and find their identity and figure out where their stress is coming from and how they're going to deal with this stress or depression or whatever it is, I'm in and I'm fascinated. And to me, you can have any topic in the world as long as you have those elements, you're going to have a fascinating and interesting story, which why in this case, you know, we, you know, you test the film with certain audience members, and we had an 80-year-old grandma watch it. She was like, I didn't, when I was going to watch this, I was like, I don't really like these muscly guys and stuff. She goes, but I actually really like this. And by the end, I was on Google searching for Phil and trying to learn more about him. That was when we knew, okay, well, we did the right thing here, which is it's a film that transcends the sport, brings more appreciation and understanding yes. to the sport, but transcends the sport and truly brings the spirit of who Phil Heath actually is and what he's had to overcome and how we can all learn from the process he went through.
And I completely agree with you. And it's one of those things where I realized that when I was looking at your body of work and the idea of I wouldn't see on a surface level a lot of similarity between him and Danny Trejo, but it's clearly there. There are the elements here that you can see, and these are universal things you're talking about. And I know we're out of time at this point, but this is something that I do highly recommend. I think that, I mean, from an outsider, I think that people that follow Phil's story, that know him, there's more than enough access to him that they would be thoroughly entertained, or they would, probably not the right word, they would be inspired by this story. But I think for those of us that are laymen, there's a lot that you can really, you know, dig your teeth into here. So congratulations, man. You got a hell of a good film.
Thank you so much. That's awesome to hear. I really appreciate it. And you taking the time to actually watch the film in the first place is just awesome. So thank you for your fantastic thoughts as well. Because I'm going to steal some of them and use those trains of thought in future when I'm looking at subject matter and figuring out how I'm going to address this.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the one that you got coming out next, Dane Cook. I think it, I don't know the whole story, but it definitely seems to fit into that paradigm that you've been developing. That's
it's funny. Yeah. There are elements of it in there, and yeah, it is a true crime story with a kind of crazy twist, but the universal story still exists within it as well. That's true.
One of the weirdest true crime stories. Just I'm definitely looking forward to that one, man. So thank Fantastic. You very much. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for taking the time, Brett. Great to meet you.
A great day. Yeah.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Time enough to figure you out. Time enough to write this down. Wish me luck. Give me hope.
voice crack.